The following message was given at the Heart Cry for Revival Conference, May 26 through 29, 1998, at the Willow Valley Resort and Conference Center in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, in the United States of America.
Our Father, we thank Thee from our hearts for each other. We're washed in the blood, and we praise Thee for that, Lord. We thank Thee, Lord, for this conference that is filling us with hope and vision and understanding. And as Thy people, we bow very lowly before Thee. Thou art our God, and we are so unworthy. We're so conscious of it, Lord. I am, especially this man. That does not need to remind me, Lord, that I am nothing. Please don't have to remind me that. But in our nothingness, in our unworthiness, come have mercy. Love us openly. Come to Thy people, who are bowed very low before at this time of our history, and who are looking in great desperation, God, for an answer. Somehow, we're just not absolutely understanding. Please have mercy on us. Show us. Wash me in the blood of Jesus Christ. Fill me the Holy Spirit. With my lips, anoint, unction I, great liberty. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on all of us, and visit us, as only God can. That the devil doesn't smile, that we may leave this place so different. In Jesus Christ's name, in Jesus Christ's name, amen. In the entire Bible, the chapter that is most feared by modern day Christianity, in the entire Bible, the chapter that is most feared by modern day Christianity is 1 John chapter 3. Where we read these words, Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But when we know that when he shall appear, we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall be like him, for we shall see him. We shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Every man that hath this hope in him of being like Jesus, when we see him, we shall be like him. Every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. The sin is the transgression of the law, and you know that he was manifested to take away our sins. and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. My little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, for he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Neither he that loveth not his brother. Neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that he heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love. We love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word. Let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. But if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandments. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Now the axle upon which this whole chapter revolves, is verse 10. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Neither he that loveth not his brother. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. We are living in a chaotic and dangerous and superficial age in the church. We are living in a chaotic and dangerous and superficial age in the church. And I believe the time has come for everyone that dares to name the name of Jesus as their Savior to examine themselves, whether they be in the faith. We are living in a chaotic and dangerous and superficial age in the church. And I believe the time has come for everyone that dares to name the name of Jesus as their Savior to examine themselves whether they be in the faith. 2 Corinthians 13 verse 5 says, examine yourselves. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Examine yourselves. Only in the mirror of God's Word. Only in the mirror of God's Word. And if this book condemns you, be careful how you react. If this book condemns you, be careful how you react. We read in James chapter 1 verse 21, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness. Lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word. Receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. But if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholds himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Examine yourselves. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. In chapter 2, verse 14, James asked a staggering question. What did the prophet, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things that are needful to the body, what of the prophet? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Worthless. James is not saying here you're saved by works. No. There's no such a thing as a contradiction in this book. James is not saying you're saved by works. No, by grace are you saved through faith, not of works. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted to him for righteousness. Not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. No, James is not saying here you're saved by works. You're saved by faith, but you're not saved unless your faith works. Unless your faith brings your life to correspond with this book, these words on these pages, your faith is like the devil's. He believes every word. He doesn't doubt a word. That's why he trembles. Do you tremble? Wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Examine yourselves only in the mirror of God's word. That's all I'm asking of you. Only in the mirror of God's word tonight. Whether ye be in the faith of this book, whether ye be in the faith of this book, America, if this book still matters, yeah? In Matthew, chapter 7, verse 17, the Lord Jesus said, "Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit." A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, "Lord, Lord," shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works?" And then will I profess unto them, "I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Examine yourself, whether ye be in the faith. You that cast out devils. Oh, you stir people, don't you, that you've done that. Are you going to hell? Or was Jesus the same words that don't matter to the church today? "You that cast out devils in thy name, that do many wonderful works." Many will say to me, not a few preachers, many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? Have we not preached," literally, anointed, unctionized, preaching, expounding of the oracles of God. That's all that word means, in case you... some other interpretation of a prophecy in this dispensation, in its context, I hope you do read. Many preachers will say, "Lord, have we not preached in thy name?" Examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. You who preach in the name of Jesus, no one will ever ask this again of you until the day you die, I guarantee you. I guarantee you. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith of this book, lest you stand before Christ one day and hear him say, "I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. One John 2 verse 3 we read, "And hereby we do know that we know him. Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments." How do I know that I'm saved? Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, "I know him," and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Hereby know we that we are in him. Examine yourself, whether ye be in the faith. Hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, "I know him," and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar. God says. God says. Not me. Examine yourself whether he be in the faith. To everyone that dares to name the name of Jesus as their Savior, Paul asks this staggering question in Romans 6 verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then shall we sin, because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak unto the men of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, for as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness, unto holiness. For when ye were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things where ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Titus chapter 2 verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. For the grace of God hath appeared to all men, teaching us, sirs, if anything of God's grace has ever appeared to you in the smallest iota, this is what it taught you. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. Let's just take a moment here. Let's just take a moment here to look at this, to consider this sin called lust that God so rejects in the life of anyone that would dare to name him. 1 John 2 verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. But all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Matthew 5, verse 28. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. You know, what God sees going on in your mind and heart is so filthy that God sees you may as well have done it. there's no less sin. It is as filthy as if you just did it. And no less judgment. I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye do cause thee to offend, pluck it out and cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. You know how serious a thing it is, sir, if you don't deal with lust. You're just doing the thing God says. Don't deny this. Don't deceive yourself. You've done it! You did this with the man who went physically! You've done it! In my eyes, unless I'm a bit confused about Christ. Do you believe Christ's words anymore? Church of Jesus Christ. Shelters on his blood. Someone needs to tell them in case they're going to linger. We're looking at this thing called lusts that God so rejects. I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after has committed adultery with her already in his heart. 1 Peter 2:11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Have you seen a man in war? First Peter 1:14, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy. Be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Be ye holy. Be ye holy, for I am holy. I am holy. 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Oh, that's wonderful, you know. By these precious promises we can become partakers of the divine nature as we put our faith in what God says. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Have you escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust? Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. 2 Timothy 2:19. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. God says, do we believe it? Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. I was in a meeting many years ago now as a young preacher, sitting there with some of the greatest preachers in this world, some of the greatest theologians I think this world has ever known were in that meeting. And there I was, this young fellow, full of fire, very little wisdom, listening to them as this man in the front, amazing theologian, revered. Oh, I won't tell you his name. You'll be staggered. And he made the statement in this meeting concerning 1 John chapter 3. He said, "Oh, beloved, we mustn't worry about 1 John chapter 3. The Greek," he says, "brings out the true meaning. If you look at the Greek, it's not saying whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, cannot sin. Whosoever sinneth is of the devil." This here in the Greek means does not habitually commit sin, but habitually lives in victory. And he says, thank goodness for the new translation that don't deceive us like the old King James.
Hey! Oh my. Well, another man stood up, more greatly revered than he in this world. Won't tell you what his name is. You won't believe that. And he stood up and said, "Sir, I beg to differ. I don't know where you learned Greek. I don't know what manuscript, what text you're using. I don't know how you want to explain this, but I want you to bring any manuscript with any text that you care to use, and I want to show you that that's not true. It literally means, if one has to be honest, and I have no argument doctrinally, but if you're going to make a statement like that, sir, let me clear it up right now, you're not true. The Greek says, and you cannot twist it no matter what you do, does not commit sin, full stop." And he sat down. Well, a war broke out in that hall. There were lots of different sorts of schools of doctrine there. And there I sat, a young preacher, and I was quite delighted. As they all thrust this out, I said, "Whoa, listen to this." Well, after a while this was going on, I began to think to myself, and I thought to myself, but they're missing the point. That's not the point. John isn't aiming at us, weighing up here that it's possible that a Christian could ever sin, and if he sins, he's of the devil. If he says he's saved and he ever sins again, he's of the devil. That just isn't the point, no matter what the Greek says, because John has cleared up very clearly before he got to chapter 3, he made sure we wouldn't say that. In chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not." Oh, that's what he's saying, believe it or not. And if you don't like that, this is the message. Get out of the pulpit if you don't want to preach it, for God's sake. "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. But if..." Now you must be balanced, you know, the Jehovah Witnesses. We accuse them of taking text and not reading the next text, the next verse. Are we guilty? Be careful now. You can preach the standard, but if you're scared of the next test, if it doesn't go along with your doctrine, oh my, you're in trouble. And so are the poor people who are going to hear you. "My little children, these things write we unto you, that ye sin not. But if..." Beloved, we have to preach it with this high stand. If God doesn't stand over you with a rod of iron, saying, "Just you sin, I'll smash you." No, 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 no. Oh, he loves you. He loves you. And he cries out, "Look, if any man sin who lives the standard, who's in truth..." Not if you just sin and sin and sin and sin. This is for you. No, the first part then you've got to read. Somebody's got to remind you about. He says the first part before he comes to this, to those who are living in victory, who repented, who are on their road to the celestial city, who turned from the broad road and repented of their sinful life, and they stand out like sore thumbs. You can't be hid, you know. If you repented with the broad road, your whole life condemns every single person that passes on the broad road. If you're real, and you, all who will live godly in Christ Jesus, shall suffer persecution. You can't escape it. All who will live godly, all who come to repent unto the narrow, you're exactly the opposite road. You're walking in the exact opposite direction. How can you be missed? But God knows, though you've done this by His grace, And if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Behold, look, God says to everybody passing by, look at this man. All things have passed away. All things have become new. But if on your road to the celestial city with all the powers of darkness against you, the devil, with all those thousands of years of knowing the way up every reaction of man, every weakness, if with all the powers of darkness against you, while you've turned to a life of repentance, if you fall, it's possible. Don't give up. Get up.
Amen.
And go on. I give you the right. If,
Lord,
while you're living in this amazing repentance that condemns everyone's heart in your own home, people look upon you as an enemy. They're so condemned that you weep at what they're watching on the television in your own home. If any man sin, fail, fall, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins. He is the mercy seat, literally, for our sins, the Christians. Oh no, John didn't come to chapter 3 first, you know. He said this so that no one would have to have a debate. No matter what the Greek, I mean, it's possible we can fall, but it's possible that we can live in victory. And if you don't believe that, I pity you, because what on earth can you preach of any value? The point here is not if we can never fall again. The point here is, have you repented? Is it written by God across you that every single person in your life that knows you sees written by God's hand so loud that nobody can doubt it without one word from your lips? I have repented from a life of sin. Take away the word of repentance from the gospel and you have churches full of people going to hell. In their millions. Just take that one word away and their faith is as good as the devil's. There's no reason for it to work. There's no reason if you take away, repent. And that's the one thing, sir, God can't do for you. God now commandeth all men, I like that, everywhere, to repent. Repent ye therefore and be ye converted, that your sins may be blotted out. They haven't been blotted out if you haven't repented from them. Whoso confesseth and forsaketh the sin, the same shall have mercy. Tell me, where do you find in this book a man who didn't turn from his sins found mercy? Your sins are blotted out by faith in the blood of Christ when you turn from them to God. You alone can turn, and God alone can set you free. But if the Son so sets you free, you shall be free indeed. And God will cry it out to the world as you walk, sinning not, with a possibility, yes, that in this amazing victory, that staggers the world and staggers the powers of darkness, is a possibility. But God doesn't say, give up. No, get up, child. You're on the road now. Get up. I knew it's possible. Get up. Written across you is, you've repented. You have repented. You've repented. Oh, it's a glorious message, you know, that God now wants us to repent, that if we repent, he delivers. What a message to preach to the world. What poverty if you don't preach it. Because then a man goes home with a condemned heart, though he sang the praises of God in your church with you. And his heart will condemn what God will condemn 10 times more. Who knoweth all things. Oh, in this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Now this is staggering. With equal importance in God's eyes as evil sin, this is just going to be as much judgment. You're of the devil as much as if you are an adulterous, evil man. You are of the devil, God says. Neither he that loveth not his brother. So this is the message that you heard from the beginning. That we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. You're still going to hell. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him, God says. If you hate your brother, you're just as good as a murderer. That's how vital this is to be saved. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. We are living in a chaotic and dangerous and superficial age in the church. And I believe the time has come for everyone that dares to name the name of Jesus as their Savior to examine themselves whether they be in the faith. Examine yourselves. 2 Corinthians 13 verse 5 says, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Examine yourselves tonight whether you be in the faith of this book. Examine yourselves. Only, that's all I ask, even if no man ever asks you again until the day you die, sir, just tonight. Examine yourselves only in the mirror of God's Word. Only in the mirror of God's Word. And if this book condemns you, be careful how you react, even if you're a minister. Be careful how you react here tonight. Be careful if this book condemns you. We read in 1 John 2 verse 9, he that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness, even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Examine yourselves. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. 1 John 4 verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. God is love. What amazing words. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Love is perfected. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. He that loveth not knoweth not God. You don't know God. You can't know God if this book still matters. Examine yourself whether you be in the faith. 1 John 4 verse 20. If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. Can I repeat that? If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. This is the love of God. This is what it means to love God, that we keep his commandments. Not to say, I love God and hate your brother, and you're a liar, God said, you don't love me. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. And Jesus said, A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. I have something that means nothing at all. I've got something that, in God's eyes, what is this? Not me. If there's no love here, brother, what is it we're seeking to prove to the world we know God? Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, ask your husband, lady. If you're a Christian, even if you speak in tongues tonight, please ask your husband. I've got something that means absolutely nothing. It's worthless. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. You know what that literally means? My faith and religion is worth nothing in God's eyes, in its context. Goodness, can that be? You come back to what Jesus said in Matthew 7. To preachers and those who cast out devils, if you don't think that's possible, those who do many great things in the name of Jesus, who God says, I never knew you. Now you come here, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have all faith that I can move mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love in my fanaticism, it profiteth me nothing. You've done nothing for God. He won't reward. There is nothing you've done for God there. If it isn't out of love, it profiteth me nothing. Love suffereth long and is kind. Tell me, with all you have you got this? Ask your wife now. Ask your husband now. Ask your children. Ask your enemies. I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. Do you? What good have you done? Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Do you? Do you love your enemies? Do you know what it is to turn the other cheek, beloved? Oh, heaven help the man who touches you, or your name, or your doctrine. Have you got this? Ask yourself. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love is not rash, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Hope you know that. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. The greatest of these is love. Follow after love. Follow after love. And if you're not, are you going to hell?
with all your gifts, with all your casting out devils? Tell me, are you going to hell? Follow after love if you're saved. This is what matters, not gifts. Desire spiritual gifts, by the by, but rather that you may prophesy. If you're going to go after gifts now, stand in line, covet earnestly the best gifts, that you may preach with the anointing, unctionized, hand of God upon you as you expound through studying to show yourself approved, a workman that can handle the word of God aright. These gifts that are instantaneous are dangerous. If you're gifted, sir, you've got to study to show yourself approved, a workman that can handle the word of God aright, that needeth not be ashamed. You're going to be ashamed if you don't know this book. Somewhere along the line, sir, whatever gift it is, oh, you've got to work. Take it up now if God has enabled and endued you. Endued you. In any way, it's a lifetime of throwing yourself into it. And if you're desperate for gifts, if you think that's an evidence that you're right with God, oh, please, rather that you preach the holy word of God. Oh, love. Follow after love. Follow after love. Follow after love. Examine yourself now whether you be in the faith of this book. If you're following after anything else and you haven't got love, you've got nothing. You're worthless, God says. Your religion, your whole faith, worthless. Oh my. Do you believe that anymore in this chaotic world today? Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. I often wondered why God put these two things together as the vital evidences whether we are God's child or the devil's. I often wondered why God put these two things together as the vital evidence as to whether we are God's child or the devil's. Holiness, without which no man shall see God. Holiness and love. Love. Why did God put these two things together? And I began to understand, you know, as the years went by, I began to understand as I looked at people's lives, as I watched people's lives. Holiness without love is ugliness. Ugliness. It's rigid, separationist, lawlessness, judgmental, condemnatory. Oh, it's ugly. No wonder you send people to hell with all your separation. Amen. Holiness without love is ugliness. But love makes holiness beautiful. Love makes holiness Christ-likeness. Now, beloved, then I shock you and tell you the sum total of my doctrine. Holiness, full stop, is Christ-likeness. The whole standard of this book, full stop, is to be like Jesus. Amen. And if it's not, it's heresy. Don't seek it. It's worth nothing. A holy life governed by love is the mightiest weapon God could ever have at his disposal in this world. A holy life governed by love is the mightiest weapon God could ever have at his disposal in this world. last night. We looked at the man, the message, and the movement. Tonight, in case you didn't know it, we looked at the man, the message. The man is the message, you know. Or God will never use him in revival. You can't live what you preach, brother. How can God take you up? If you're not living what you're going to preach, brother, and if you're going to preach this, if you're not going to live it, you bring such shame to God. I guarantee you, the world will soon find out you're not living it. And you know the shame that has been brought on God's name when men try to preach the standard and couldn't live it. Do you know what damage is still repercussing across the world to men who thought they could, but they weren't the instruments of revival? No good crying out judgment, sir, unless your horse's word throbs with love. Unless you've wept over hell, sir, you have no right to preach of it. But if you have, by God's amazing grace, become a holy life that's governed by love, you've become the mightiest weapon God could ever have at his disposal in this earth. And he's waiting for such a man. He's waiting. You prayed last night, begin in me, God. I prayed for revival, but tonight I want to pray another prayer, God. Revive me. Can I ask you to pray another prayer tonight? God,
that I may be holy. By thy grace alone. And yet governed so by love, that I be like Jesus, that I have the right to preach what thou hast enabled me to live by thy grace.
We speak of being filled with the Spirit. You know what that means? Being controlled by the Spirit. So that in every circumstance, no matter how trying, our lives spontaneously react to the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit, beloved, is Christ. That's all. God. Oh God, I want so much to have the right by my life to be the instrument of revival. Enable me to live by thy grace. Come, my God, wash me so thoroughly and fill me with the Holy Spirit. Take control, God. I absolutely surrender to thee. Fill me, take control. Make me a holy, holy man. Governed by love, no matter how trying the circumstances. Governed by God's love, spontaneously seen in every reaction, no matter how trying. Fill me with the Holy Spirit, you know, is not just saying it with dead faith. It's saying, make me like Jesus, so you don't know what you're praying. That I have the right to preach this book. How many of you have prayed that? God, please, a holy life governed by love. Make me Christ-like. That's all it is. Or I cannot preach. I want those of you that desperately, not shallow, desperately, desperately need to ask that of God from the depth of your soul to give you the right to preach to this nation. I want those of you that are so desperately in need to stand right now. That's going to cost you, isn't it? I only ask once, because it's between you and God. And if you haven't made up your mind yet, nothing's going to. Oh, beloved, it would be wonderful to all get on our knees and just pray and ask God it aloud. Come pray with me loud, and don't dare listen to the devil who says this can't work. That God will turn his face, you know, and say, not good enough. Only the devil will tell you that, let me tell you. Cry this from your heart and prove God. You pray with me loud, oh my God.
Oh my God.
Wash me through and through with the blood of Christ.
And fill me with the Holy Spirit.
That I may be like Jesus.
For if I'm not like Jesus,
I cannot preach
any standard.
For the only standard I see in this book is to be like Jesus. Give me the right to preach that by giving me the life. Fill me now with thy Spirit. Take complete control of me by the Holy Spirit. That not by my efforts, my struggles, but by thy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit will be seen spontaneously, no matter how trying the circumstances in my life, that Christ will be seen even by my enemies. Make me an instrument of revival. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Can we all stand? Beloved, we're going to have times of prayer after this. And there's much you can pray aloud. But don't doubt God now. If you prayed that, God does not look at the words that proceed out of the mouth. God looks at the heart from whence they come. If he saw in your heart you meant that, how could God say no? How could he? He's so upright and perfect. God bless you so much. So much. You've had so many meetings, and they've all been long. You must be desperate for revival. But God's watching you, and that's what matters. God's looking down here at this host. I would be done. God doesn't come and honor you above all you could ever have dreamed for gathering like this and seeking him and standing and praying. I would be stunned. Don't doubt him now. He's watching. He's waiting.
is a few meetings left. Go all the way through with God, no matter what the cost. If there wasn't more, there wouldn't be any more meetings. God knows why.
There's more now. Don't stop now, child of God.
No. Come in every single meeting, crying out, God, continue. Continue, God. Continue. By the by, being filled with the Spirit is just the beginning of a consistent growth. Ups and downs until then, more downs than ups. But now, consistent growth because God's in control. That's why we have to be absolutely surrendered. You've done it. But oh, He wants to take you so much more now. Let Him. Let Him. Till the day you die. Let Him.